He saved you from the power of sin, which in turn freed you from hell. It's that iniquity force that you have a new nature on the inside of you. Jeremiah 31:33, where we get the concept of Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, is out of Jeremiah 31. And God says that I'm going to write my Torah on your hearts. Why would he write something on your hearts he did away with?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
But, you know, and I so want this new book to come out because there's some real good stuff I can preach from it. We look at, like, Jesus lowered the bar morally and a lot of other ways because of the cross. The opposite is true. You to get into the kingdom, you had to be a part of Israel, but Israel, not everybody in Israel was a part of the kingdom. That's why the Apostle Paul says, you know, we preach the gospel to those that are near. Those are natural-born Israelis, Israelites. Those who were afar off, which were who? The Gentiles, which are brought near. Because now once you've been grafted into Israel, Messiah takes you onto something higher called the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so the authority's been raised, the responsibility's been raised, and the morality has been raised, because now it's not just the Torah of our minds, it's the Torah of our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is there to enforce the law, teach us the law as it should be lived in a way that will honor God, convict sinners of sin without putting them off, without having some religious spirit, mm-hmm. and ejecting the devil everywhere we go.
Amen. Now, of course, there's going to be some people who are listening to this and saying, well, these guys are just preaching work salvation. That's all this is. You know, we're saved by faith through grace, or by grace through faith. What's the difference between what we're talking about and what people think, people may think we're talking about?
Well, they've taken the argument that's presented in the Word in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 has nothing to do with eating kosher. It has nothing to do about the feast. It is one thing and one thing only. The doctrine of salvation through circumcision, mm-hmm. that the Shammai Pharisees were teaching. And so the council said, we're not going to trouble them with that because we understand what the Apostle Paul was teaching, that it's circumcision of the heart, which is a greater circumcision. But they stop at the declaration in Acts chapter 15, right before it says, and Moses is taught in the synagogues every Sabbath. That's actually a command of the council to every Gentile that comes to Christ, is to learn Moses. But what we need to understand, it goes back to definitions in the Torah. Did Moses give the Torah while they were slaves in Egypt? No. All they simply had to do is have faith that he was sent. He was an apostle, sent. He was a prophet, sent by the hand of God to deliver them, and they simply had to believe in him, and when he said move, they moved. Mm-hmm. That is a perfect type and shadow of salvation through Christ. That's because Moses is the perfect Old Testament type and shadow. And so when people try to trash Moses, they're actually trashing the only perfect example in the Old Testament that we have of Jesus. In fact, in the New Testament, what is stressed is Moses was faithful. He is the servant of God. And so, but Moses takes the free people and he takes them to Mount Sinai. And you know, today's the Feast of Pentecost. Okay, so this is good.
Yes.
You know, Moses wanted to take them up. You know, I could see Moses, dude, there's a bush up there and it burns, but it doesn't burn up. Coolest thing you ever seen. Let me show you the bush, okay? And he goes up there and God comes down and sets the entire mountain on fire. The book of Hebrews says it freaked out Moses.
Yeah.
Now that was the fire and the power of God. It was after that they agreed, we will follow your commandments. We will follow your ways. And so the law was given to a free people that had been redeemed. That's the biblical pattern. They were saved by faith and grace. Because of grace, God sent Moses to deliver them. Every one of the plagues that was upon Egypt is you see, grace and judgment are the two sides of the same coin. For God to release grace to the Israelites, he had to judge Egypt. Mm-hmm. And then he brings them out, and now a free people receive the commandments, and he makes them a nation. And it's the same way for us, is that I don't have to, the only commandment, and there is one commandment that I've got to keep, otherwise you cannot be saved. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a commandment, Jack. You got to believe what the true biblical Jesus is, who he is, what he did, and trust in that. Now that I'm free, we have, 40 days after Jesus resurrected from the dead, we have the Feast of Pentecost. Now the fire of God that was on that mountain moves into me to empower me to live what God gave on Mount Sinai.
Wow.
That's why in the book of Hebrews it says, listen, if because of unbelief they fell in the wilderness, how much more is there going to be a judgment against us?
Right.
Because I'm kind of frustrated because, keeping the Torah is not a salvific issue. It never has been. Quit trying to make it that. The Acts chapter 15, the book of Galatians, puts that to rest. But the keeping of the works of the law was one, circumcision. You read anything else into it, you're adding to the word. You're not drawing or exegeting out of the word.
Right.
So won't you go ahead and get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Renounce sin. Repent. Invite him into your heart. And now that you have been delivered out of spiritual Egypt, go on up to Mount Zion and let Almighty God begin to give you his law so that now that you're saved, you can begin to distinguish between right and wrong, holy, unclean, the kingdom of God, and Mystery Babylon.
That is amazing. That's why I love talking to you, because you have this way of being able to make all of this just so simple when the world confuses everything. It's just all about learning what God likes and what he doesn't like, and he's our father, so of course we're going to want to do things that he likes and not do the things he doesn't like. Why does it have to be more complicated than that? I'm so glad you're talking to me and my audience on this episode, because it's so vitally important. And this, honestly, I say this in a lot of episodes, and it's definitely true in this one. A lot of times, I know I'm the host of the show, but it's called the Sharpening Report for a reason. I want to be sharpened too. A lot of times I feel like I'm part of the audience too, and this is definitely an episode where I am, and I get to learn from people like yourself. To me, the truth of God should be simple like that, easily understood. It's the rest of the world. It's the enemy that muddles it up and makes it confusing and brings in doubt and all that stuff. You're blowing my mind.
Let's look at the scripture where the Apostle Paul was talking about all scripture is inspired of God. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say that to make the man of God perfect for whatever he's facing against. When the Apostle Paul wrote that, only the Old Testament existed. And so in his mind, the Old Testament plus Jesus is all that was needed to grow you up, mature you up, and empower you. But what we've done is we have separated, it's one book by one God. This whole doctrine that the God of the Old Testament was an evil God and Jesus was new. We can lead that back to Marcion, who was the first one to present this whole doctrine that, the Old Testament's for the Jews and the New Testament's for the Christians. And he began to try to correlate a lot of Paul's works, although he heavily edited them or redacted a lot of information that he didn't like. And Polycarp, which was a direct disciple of the Apostle John, kicked him out, called him the firstborn son of Satan.
Oh, wow.
And gave him his large offering back with him. And I can see a lot of people going, what? Yeah. Take your money, hit the road, Jack. We're not allowing any of that into the church. You can also take that back to the Nag Hammadi, that Yahweh, it was one of the emanations from Sophia,
yeah.
But this poor little God, he didn't know that he wasn't alone.
Yeah.
and so then Jesus is presented as something different. But we got to understand, if our theology is going to be right, we are monotheistic. We have one God. One God. And the Trinity No, people, and because you can see the Godhead within Judaism. I mean, even the rabbis today, there's a great book I'll send you the title to that he's one of the major Orthodox rabbis in Israel. And it was basically a book saying Jesus was the Messiah.
Oh, wow.
And it freaked out all of Israel. But he said that when in the book of Daniel, where it talked about the Son of Man, he says, we know that's the Son of God, that's God. But he said, the Son of Man is the aspect of God that we can know, that the Ancient of Days, the Father, we cannot know without the Son of Man. And I'm almost having Pentecostal fits as I'm reading this book, because it's one God. It's just simply an aspect. God says everything has to be established in two or three witnesses. And so we have a God that lives beyond dimensionality, okay? Even the third heaven is not where he really resides. He manifests there, but he resides in eternity, which is above the third, first, second, or third heaven. And so, you know, to him, we're all flat Stanleys of where he dwells. And so we have this wonderful God who comes as three witnesses of himself, because only God can testify of himself. And even in the Shema, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one. When you look at it in Hebrew, it says God, God, God is Echad, but that middle word, Eloheinu, is a singular version of Elohim.
Oh, wow.
And so what's magnificent about God is he comes down and he says, now even to Israel, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even if you reject the Son. You still have the Father and the Holy Spirit bearing perfect witness that you cannot nullify.
Wow.
But it's one God. So when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he was speaking to the people that were holding the Torah of Moses. And he was basically, and that's why he said, you know, before Abraham was, I am. That's because he is the great I am that took flesh. He's the one who gave the commandments to Moses. He's the one who parted the Red Sea. He's the one who basically decimated Israel. He's the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He's the one that appeared to Abraham. It's him.
Wow.
It's one God. There's not a pantheon up there. It is one God who has manifested himself for our sake as three witnesses that could not be denied. Because if there were just two and they would discount one, you nullify his witness by his own standards.